when God opened my understanding, went through the book of Revelation, and right on out to the last chapter, chapter 22, is still the throne of God and of the Lamb. I waited. I had to deal with it emotionally. I stood in my living room, LaBriscoe's a witness, and I literally wailed. I had to make an emotional adjustment because I had to let the Lord Jesus Christ be who He said He is. Even over in Revelation, when He's in heaven with the Father in chapter 3, He said, "Thus saith the Son of God." He never said, "I'm God." Jesus never said, "I'm God." He always said He was the Son of God. Now, His critics accused Him of making Himself God. We can't get our understanding of Jesus and His Father from His critics. Don't take the word of His critics now. His critics said He has made Himself God, but Jesus corrected them and said, "I said I'm the Son of God." They never brought that up again. When He was taken to Pilate's judgment hall, they said He ought to be crucified because He said He's the Son of God. He didn't say God, He said Son. He straightened that out, didn't He? Jesus straightened them out. He said, "You said I said I'm God. I said I'm the Son of God." That's an awesome position. Hallelujah. He's highly exalted. It's almost impossible to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ too high unless we put Him in the place of God the Father. I'm not talking about just oneness Pentecostal. Okay, that's my background. And that's what I did, but I'm not just talking about. I found oneness Baptist, oneness Assemblies of God.
Yeah, they are.
People that call themselves Trinitarian, but when you scratch on the surface, there's oneness. We have one tract that we sent out to 91,000 ministers. Everybody has a mailbox, we try to put one in. We have another tract we've mailed out to over 43,000 ministers. I've gotten all kinds of responses. Most of them good, some of them not so good. But anyway, I've had people email me, and they say that Jesus is the Father who did the sending. He's the Son who came, and He's the Holy Spirit that was poured out. Now, you can call that anything you want to, but it's Jesus only. That's what it is. That was my understanding till God revealed Himself to me in His Word. Now I see the Father. LaBriscoe was raised Trinitarian. And then when we married in 1957, I'd like to not be in 18. She's a lot younger than that. Being the sweet wife that she is, when I come home from work, you know, we were oneness, and she had her scriptures lined up. So I guess maybe I want her old. But in the back of her mind, I think she always still had doubts that Jesus is the eternal God. Really, LaBriscoe said she thought she would never know. But now we're in total agreement. I will say this. I was oneness. I'm not Trinitarian. I briefly looked back at the doctrine of Trinity when I began to realize there was a distinction between God the Father and His virgin-born Son, made of a woman, Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son into the world, made of a woman, not made before the woman. Come on, folks, no angel moved into Mary's womb. No pre-existent being moved into Mary's womb and came out looking like a baby. He was a real little baby with five little fingers on each hand. 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so I see the Father. I see the distinction between Jesus and His Father. We thought we had to be oneness or Trinitarian. I think we probably ought to address this just a minute. There's no place in Scripture where three thrones are pictured in heaven. There's one throne of God the Father, and at His right hand is our Savior, Jesus Christ. They're making intercession for us. Hebrews 10:12, listen to the inspired writer of Hebrews. "But this man," Jesus is in heaven with the Father, but the writer of Hebrews says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." When I mentioned that to the preacher from Canada on the phone the other day, he said, Oh, well, we both know that's symbolic. Well, pardon me, I don't know it's symbolic. If the Bible says it clearly 10 times that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, you know where he is? He's at the right hand of the Father. Would you believe 3 scriptures? Would you believe 10 scriptures? How many does it take? The writer of Hebrews expecting. He's sitting there expecting. Can I say in all reverence that God the Father is not expecting anything? He speaks and is done. But Jesus sits there expecting his Father to do for him. What? The writer of Hebrews said, till his enemies be made his footstool. That's what David was talking about in Psalm 110:1. The most quoted verse out of the Old Testament over in the New, some 33 quotes are references. David said, the Lord said unto my Lord. Somebody said, well, I thought there was only one Lord. Yes, there is only one Lord God. But I can show you several scriptures in the Bible that have 2 Lords in the verse. So only one of them can be God.
Amen.
Ephesians 4 and 5, we've loved that one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. But there's no period at the end of that verse. There's a comma. One God. But there's no period. We always put a period there. Hey, I was in Nashville the other day. Please don't be offended by this because the preacher wasn't. But I passed by a church. I knew there were oneness. Love my oneness brother. Love my Trinitarian brother. But I passed by and they had one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So they had the pastor's name up there and I had met him before. And I picked up the phone and called him. And I said, this is Joel Hemphill. How are you doing? Past time of day. I said, I saw your church sign. And I just wondered where the rest of that scripture was. There's no period after Ephesians 4, 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's a comma. One God and Father of us all. That's God the Father. Who is above all and through all and in you all. He took it real good. I told him about my book. He said, send it to me. He said, I'll read it. He was real sweet about it. I passed back by there the other day, about 3 weeks later, and it had given glory to God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I don't know. I'm eating up.
It's important.
Before we leave this point, in Matthew 3:16, it says the Spirit of God descended on Jesus Christ. In Luke 3:21, it says the Holy Ghost descended on Jesus like that. And Mark and John both say the Spirit. So was it the Spirit of God? Was it the Holy Ghost? Or was it just the Spirit? By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. We don't have to make the Holy Spirit a third person of God because the Bible does not do that. The Holy Spirit is very real. But it is the Spirit of God in action. And so there was a misconception born. We go back to Plato. He said God is unknowable. He only reveals himself through 8 hypostases, or 8 representatives. The main one being the divine Logos. He's not talking about Jesus. He's 400 years before Jesus. He's a Greek philosopher. So that's a serious distortion of what he read in the books of Moses. This is history. That Plato read the books of Moses. So he came up with the idea of one eternal God. But he mixed his Greek philosophy in it, that God is not knowable, and reveals himself through these representatives, and the main one being the divine Logos. There was a man by the name of Philo. He was born 20 years before Christ. When Jesus started his ministry around 30 AD, Philo was about 50 years old and already a famous Hellenistic Jewish writer. And he never knew Jesus. One of his contemporaries, Josephus, mentioned Jesus and Christianity. Philo never mentioned either one. But listen to this. In his writing, he mentioned the Logos, or the divine Logos, over 1,400 times. He's not talking about Jesus. He never knew Jesus.